is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So the Lord, He knows us. He knows what He's called us to. He knows each and every one of us by name. He's the one. Oh, you can try to explain to someone why you feel the way you do, why you're hurt the way you do, why you're so afraid of this and afraid to let go and afraid to trust. You can tell someone until you're blue in the face, but let me just tell you this, there's one who knows. There's one who knows, and He still calls, and He still asks, and He still puts you in the uncomfortable situations by faith. Well, you know my fear, Lord, this rejection thing happened, and I'm just asking you to go share the gospel, and it's not you they reject, it's me. But I hate rejection, Lord. I know that. It's not you they reject. I'm with you.
Have you ever felt afraid to share the gospel with others? Where do you think that fear comes from? Maybe you feel like you're just not a good enough Christian or that you don't have an exciting testimony to share. Today, Pastor Troy will show you that God is calling you. Yes, you, to step out of your comfort zone and share the good news with others. God knows your flaws and your wounds. He promises to be with you, to protect you, and give you everything you need to share the good news. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 10 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Jesus' death was no accident. I don't care what others try to say. Well, he was a good man and he was killed, or he wasn't killed, or he swooned, whatever the different philosophies and theories are out there. Jesus went to the cross because he intended to die for the sins of the world. But it also says, I lay it down that I may take it up. I have the power to do that. Jesus' death paid the price for sin, and his resurrection defeated sin, and defeated sin and death and the grave. Not only did he know the cost of sin, the cost that would have to be paid. Look at verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So not only does he know the cost, but he knows his sheep. He knows you personally. Every quirk, every little nuance, every fear, everything that has ever happened in your life to make you who you are with those fears and concerns. Why you don't like certain things. You know, one kid said this, and for the rest of my life, I was swung to this other side, and so I hated those things. We have been messed up by life, guys. We're not unbiased. And things hit, they hit us hard, and they stick with us for a long time, and we need a shepherd because we are a mess. And notice that the shepherd who knows his sheep, he didn't lay his life down for himself. He laid his life down for the sheep because he cares about the sheep. The Lord knows you, and the Lord loves you, not just the person next to you. He loves you. You have great value to him, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life and for your being here. Nothing happens in your life that he doesn't incorporate or having had seen use for his glory and his plan. He made you the way you are, and he's going to continue to change you into what you're supposed to be without all of the damage that has happened. The shepherd knows his sheep. Gives him little nicknames, you know. Oh, come on, there's Slowpoke. And so he can identify his sheep, or Fluffy, and all the different names. Well, he has your names. He certainly hasn't called me Fluffy. But he does call me by name. When the Lord was calling to Jeremiah, he was calling him, and he was calling him to a mission, to a work, right? And Jeremiah said, I can't. I'm not qualified. Who am I? I can't do this. What did the Lord say? Oh, that's right. I forgot. I meant Jeremiah Jones, not you. That's not what the Lord said. You know what the Lord said? I'll tell you. He says the same thing to you. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He said that to Jeremiah, who was saying, I can't. He says, look, I knew you before you ever came out and got messed up and afraid. I knew you. I know you. I'm the one who sanctified you. I'm the one who prepared you. I'm the one who called you. I have this for you. Any questions? Moses tried the same thing when God met him in the burning bush. I'm dumb. I can't talk. What do you mean, Moses? I took you to school. I raised you up in Egypt. You have a brilliant education, more than most around. I can't. So he says, all right, look, Aaron's over there. I'll use him as your spokesman, but we're going to do this. And he goes, and if you watch the scriptures, one, Aaron turned out to be a pretty poor spokesman. And the first time he's left alone, he makes a golden calf. It's like, goodness, Aaron. So Moses, whether you stutter or not, you need to speak up, son. Come on. Don't leave it to Aaron, because I called you. In the New Testament, it says Moses was powerful of speech. So the Lord, he knows us. He knows what he's called us to. He knows each and every one of us by name. He's the one. Oh, you can try to explain to someone why you feel the way you do, why you're hurt the way you do, why you're so afraid of this and afraid to let go and afraid to trust. You can tell someone until you're blue in the face, but let me just tell you this, there's one who knows. There's one who knows, and he still calls, and he still asks, and he still puts you in the uncomfortable situations by faith. Well, you know my fear, Lord, this rejection thing happened, and I'm just asking you to go share the gospel, and it's not you they reject, it's me. But I hate rejection, Lord. I know that. It's not you they reject. I'm with you. And he calls us. He calls us out of our comfort zone. But he knows us. If Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has a plan for your life, and he's willing to lead you, and he's willing to be there for you, why would you not follow? And then another question, why would you try to be anything or something that you're not? He knows who he called. I always think it's funny in worship, I've heard people lead worship and they'll get up there and it's a song from like Hillsong or something where they got the Australian accents, an Australian singer. It's a totally American person, but they get up there, Lord, we thank you all. What happened? Is there some kind of filter or something? They get up there and there's someone they're not because they're trying to sing it like, let God, you know? Thank you, Lord. And you go, what happened to the one you called, Lord? I don't know, but I'm going to have to use somebody else. That guy's speaking Australian. The Lord has called you and he wants to use you. Just the way you are. Now, in the process, he's going to continue to work on you and he's going to continue to change you. If he wants to give you an Australian accent, he'll give you one. Take you to Australia or something, or one day you'll wake up. Good day, Mike. What happened to me? I'm speaking Australian, mate. And you won't have any control, but be who you are, because that's who God wants to use. He gets the glory in a genuine vessel committed to him. Don't try to be something that you're not. It's fake. People can see that, by the way. Just let God use you, and he will do amazing things you never thought he could do. And you'll sit down and go, wow, Lord, you are God. You're awesome. You may break down and cry at the goodness of God because of how much he loves you. So he sacrifices for his sheep. He knows his sheep. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now we need the context. Because our next point or quality of the Good Shepherd is that he unites his sheep. Now, don't consider yourself right here and other sheep I have. See, we're not the first ones. We are the other sheep. Because remember last week we talked about the pen and he was calling them out. He was calling the sheep out of the fold. And we said that was the pen of Judaism. He was calling them out of that old relationship and to a relationship about following him. It says, and so I'm going to add, guys, I'm going to add to this. There's other sheep outside of this fold here of Judaism. I'm going to add them. And he's been adding them ever since throughout every generation. You and I are the other sheep. Remember the context? Jesus was speaking to the man who was born blind. He was healed. He got kicked out. He got kicked out of Judaism. So now, you know, where's my faith? How do I have a relationship with the Lord? And Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man, Son of God? He says, well, show me who he is. He says, I'm him. He says, yes, I believe. And then he goes off into this illustration, which we are reading now, talking about the sheepfold and the pen and other sheep I have. So he's speaking to Israel like, hey, not only is this guy okay, even though they kicked him out of the sheep pen, but I have more sheep. That would be the Gentiles and those who were not in Judaism. So this is a picture of the Lord uniting his sheep from Judaism in the time of his people all the way until now. But he's uniting them the right way. See, Judaism had them united under the flag, you know, the banner of Judaism. But it became very divisive and divisive the wrong way. It was all about heritage. And we know no one is saved because mom was saved. So now as he leads them out, what is the right dividing line? The line that should unite? Well, it's those who hear his voice and follow versus those who don't recognize his voice and don't follow. That's the dividing line. See, in the sheep pen, Israel, you know, Judaism, walking about, how do I know which sheep are mine? How do I know which sheep belong to the shepherd? Because he calls them and they follow. That's the difference. Before, the dividing line was nationality. It was religion, a religious system. But now it is what the New Testament refers to as faith. Saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, but it is him. So you must believe in Christ.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 13 says this: for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. New dividing line said nothing about Judaism, tassels, circumcision, but about following now by faith the one who calls. So he unites his sheep and he gives us a part in that uniting, that calling process. Did you know that? We are called to be ambassadors now, to proclaim, to call, to share the gospel with the world. He's given us his Holy Spirit. So Jesus is now invisible. He's up there physically, but he sent us his Holy Spirit so that we can continue his work physically. It's a work of faith. While he's renewing us and changing us and preparing us for heaven, he's also calling out through us to the world, shining a light through us to the world. At least that's the way it's supposed to work. Apparently, there are more sheep out there still. And if not, we'd be out of here. But because they're still out there, guess what, guys? We need to get busy. We need to do what God has given us to do, why he's left us behind, to use our gifts to build up his kingdom in the church, his body, but also to witness and to minister to the lost world. Why do I have to be this way? Why should I be more modest? Why should I do these things? It doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. The world needs to see a difference. And then they look at us and they go, why are you so different? Sometimes they think it's a weird difference. Sometimes they think it's an over-the-top difference. It depends on where they come from and what culture, background they've been drawn into. Sometimes they're really far away, not ready. But other times they get a little closer and they go, you know, I never liked or appreciated that until. And then God had done something in their life and they go, now I appreciate the family life. Now I appreciate modesty. Now I appreciate some of these things. Why is it that you do that? And then we're able to share with them. But for a time, some aren't willing to listen. They're not willing to hear. And so we just keep living light. And eventually those who seek, they go to the light. They go to the home that's not a mess. They go to the home that has their bills paid. They go to the home that isn't in trouble with the IRS. They go to the home that isn't going through their second divorce. They go there. And they go, how do you do it? After they're done fighting and failing, they finally go, how do you do it? I give up. And that's a good place. No matter where you go, no matter where he calls you, there is ministry. There's light to be shined. He's the Lord of the rich, of the poor, the German and the Jew, of the Arab and the American. How about positions? Can I minister to that guy? Yeah, he's Lord of the governor, the president, and of the fireman. He's Lord of the executive and the mail worker, the laborer. He's the Lord over your co-workers and your neighbors. So what we ought to be doing is, here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. Here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. Where are you at, sheepy, sheepy? Because we have a job to do while we are here. We're not supposed to be hiding. We're a light. Scripture says you don't hide a light under a bushel. And yet in some Christian camps or circles, there is this isolationism. Like, stay away. The world, it's going back. And we don't want to hear or see or be around anything. Oh, it's so wicked and bad out there. Look, yes, don't go into the bars and hang out. Don't go into the places where you could be identified with them, having chosen to go in and do those things. However, we're in the world, so you work around them. They have a meeting. Oh, I'm a Christian. Those are ungodly meetings. No, it's a meeting. So you go in there, and while they do cuss, you don't cuss. Did you know that you stand out when you don't cuss? If you did nothing else but just stop cussing if you did cuss before, and actually even if you've never cussed, if you're in a group and they normally cuss, use cuss words, you know, because they got to go back to the fifth grade and learn how to use proper English. And so these are the words that they use to fill in the gaps. Now, I say that. I worked in the military and I was in civil engineering. And those guys, they knew some words I had heard. And they put together words that shouldn't go together. I mean, they're creative in their cussing. So I've been around it. But I can also tell you this. There isn't one of those cuss words that was actually necessary to make the point. Not one. And so they can be removed. Just got to learn to do it if that's the way you've, you know, been speaking over a long period of time. But I'll tell you this. It seems like a little light. All I did was stop cussing. I guarantee you're going to get a reaction. If you've been cussing, try it for a day. Just try it for a day around the people. Don't say any of those words. You're going to find awkward situations. Someone's going to say, wait, what's wrong with you? What's up with you? Say a cuss word, man. Because it convicts. So that's a small thing. It's here, sheepy, sheepy. You know, that's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. So he sacrifices for his sheep. He knows his sheep. And he unites his sheep. Look at verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he is a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So they say, you know, I take this evidence and I can't let go of the evidence. The evidence is pretty strong, but others are like, I don't like what he's saying. Oh, we shouldn't listen to him. He's crazy proclaiming certain things. This is a nut. Why would we listen to him? But let me tell you something. I'm going to listen to him. Because he's not dead. He's alive and he speaks. And that's another quality of the Good Shepherd. He lives for his sheep. He hasn't forgotten you. Didn't go to heaven on vacation like some do. Leave the kids with someone and never think, I'm gone, I'm out here, woohoo, vacation. Then the token call. Are the kids okay? Oh, yeah, we really care. You got them? Okay. Oh, there's problems? Okay, you got it, right? Yeah, jump in, cannibal. You know, there you go. There they are, vacation. He's not like that. He cares, and he cares always. In verse 17 and 18, Jesus is referring to his death and resurrection, obviously. He says, I lay it down and that I may take it up again. He's already proclaiming his power there. I'm going to lay it down because I have the power to take it up. That already speaks to his nature as God. And then he says that, and the Father, who's the one who's got this whole plan, that's the role of the Father. He's the planner. He's the one that planned it so, declared it so. So, this is exactly what's going to happen. And this is going to be the ultimate sign, because this was a group that kept asking for signs. Give us a sign. Show us a sign. Tell us a sign. He says, look, I've given you a sign. You haven't believed a single one of them. But his ultimate sign would be his death and resurrection. That he is not only the good shepherd, but he is the eternal shepherd. He lives. Now, what is it about his resurrection, though, that makes him such a good shepherd? What is it about the resurrection that makes him a good shepherd? Now, I know we could blast out a lot of answers for that, a lot of good answers, but here's one I think is a very good one. Remember we said the quality of the sheep's life depends on the shepherd who owns them, right? So if the shepherd is really old and then he dies and the sheep get a new shepherd, my life could change. In Israel, that's what happened. Because Uzziah died, they had a great shepherd, a great king, and they were concerned when he died. They were kind of fearful, what's going to happen now? We had a great king. Well, the great thing about the Lord and his resurrection is we never have to worry about a transition in power or authority. We get the same shepherd all the time, forever. And he's the best. He's a good shepherd. If you're alive today, he's your shepherd here and now. When we die, he's our shepherd, even there. No transfer of shepherd, just a little closer in proximity. But nothing changes. Eternity begins. We take our first whatever that is in heaven, breath or something. And there we are. And nothing really changes. I've heard ministers say, you know, I want to get so close to the Lord. And I want to be considering him and thinking about him and have him so close in my life that whenever I do finally pass on and be with the Lord, it's almost like there's no difference. Just the scenery changes. I think that should be something we all ought to strive to attain, is that level of closeness with our shepherd. So Jesus said to his disciples at the time of his ascension, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always. Now he's going up, and he says, lo, I'm with you always. You know, only someone who lives forever can make that claim and keep it. Lots of people can make the claim, but he alone can keep it. So though he ascended bodily, he has sent us the Holy Spirit. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. God, willing to be with us personally. I thought my smartphone was a wonderful companion. I mean, all the answers, everything. What? Google? I got answers. What's on my calendar? Well, let me check. Oh, I can't remember it, but my phone can. So I thought that was wonderful. Well, we have the Holy Spirit of God with us.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in